Hi, Good Life family. Today's passage is from Acts 15, verses 1 to 21. It's the council at Jerusalem. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judea arrived and began to teach the believers, "Unless you are circumcised as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved." Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them, arguing vehemently. Finally, the church decided to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, accompanied by some local believers, to talk to the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent the delegates to Jerusalem, and they stopped along the way in Phoenicia and Samaria to visit the believers. They told them, much to everyone's joy, that the Gentiles were being converted. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Barnabas and Paul were welcomed by the whole church, including the apostles and the elders. They reported everything God had done through them. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted, "The Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses." So the apostles and elders met together to resolve the issue. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood and addressed them as follows. "Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to the Gentiles so that they could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus." Everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul told about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. When they had finished, James stood and said, "Brothers, listen to me. Peter has told you about the time God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for himself. And this conversion of Gentiles is exactly what the prophets predicted, as it is written, 'Afterward, I will return and restore the fallen house of David. I will rebuild its ruins and restore it, so that the rest of humanity might seek the Lord, including the Gentiles, all those I have called to be mine.' The Lord has spoken, he who made these things known so long ago. And so my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write and tell them to abstain from eating food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, from eating the meat of strangled animals, and from consuming blood. For these laws of Moses have been preached in Jewish synagogues in every city on every Sabbath for many generations." There you go. See you later.
Now, this is so great today, being hosted from one part of the world, having Mel share from another. And the power of that passage that at the end says, the Council of Jerusalem says, it shouldn't be hard, it shouldn't be burdensome for people to receive the good news of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean for a moment that it might not be hard getting it to them, but we shouldn't put other barriers in the way. You know, I don't know if you're much for mountain climbing. Me personally, I love the destination. I love the idea of the view, the heights, but I don't always love the getting there. You know, I've climbed in the Rockies and it's times like that where you realize, gosh, it's a journey. And you gotta have endurance and you gotta have patience. But it's worth it. You know, for me, there's so many excuses for why I can't. Why I shouldn't, why I probably won't. You know, it's too early, it's too cold, I didn't have enough breakfast, I'm too tired. It's gonna be such a burdensome, tiresome journey. Maybe my clothing's not right, maybe my fashion doesn't look good on the trail. What if I run into someone else who looks better than me? I mean, we think about the craziest things. But ultimately, when we engage it, something begins to happen. There's an expectation. You know, the thing I realize is that I have all the excuses in the world. I have a propensity for making up things. I have a propensity for starting things and actually then not finishing. You know, distraction for me, I'm planning on doing sit-ups. And I lie down and I get my hands behind my head and then I'm like, yeah, this is a good position for a nap. And then I take a nap and the sit-up never happens. You know, the thing, if you're going to climb a mountain, first thing it takes, and it's common to every journey, every walk, every hike, every mountain climb, it's the first step. The very first time I put one foot in front of the other and just begin to move. It's a little overwhelming because it means getting beyond where I am or stepping out of my safety zone or my comfort zone. But I'm going to give it a go. We wrap up this Jesus the Game Changer series. We've been talking about what it looks like to go to the ends of the earth. And, you know, we've all got these little comfort zones, these spaces that we feel safe in. And we tend to be really aware of those borders. And right now, borders are a real thing. The limitations that are placed upon us, the lack of travel, the social isolation, the distancing, all those things can just become these barriers to our engagement. But I think also if we're not careful, they can become excuses to our engagement. That it just gets a little bit hard. It's a little bit distant. It's a little bit difficult. But you see, it never changes what Jesus' words were. He never puts conditions, like if the conditions are favorable, we go to the ends of the earth, or if the travel is easy, we go to the ends of the earth. In fact, when I read about the disciples and the things they endured, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy sometimes to go across a town, let alone across an ocean. You know, I have to often ask myself, what does it really mean to engage that gospel? You know, I really liked what Daniel said just a couple of weeks ago, where he asked this question, what does it mean for my life to meet the needs of the world around me? What does it mean for my life to engage the needs of people? You know, he talked about opposition, and so often that opposition causes us to lean out or lean away. But he asked this question, what does it mean for me to lean into that space? What does it mean for me to possibly engage that opposition and see what conversation opens up out of that? You see, the gospel is ultimately about engaging with people. You know, the word for saved or being saved is this Greek word sozo, which means being made whole. And if the gospel is a gospel of peace, it's a gospel of restoration, reconciliation. You know, in this world right now, there is so much division, so much chaos, so many rifts and divides and schisms and things that we think, gosh, that's so hard. You know, we have that opportunity to be the gospel. I don't think we can just preach a gospel of salvation that doesn't bring peace. I don't think we can sort of preach a gospel of being saved that doesn't bring reconciliation and restoration to anyone, to the near, to the far, to the local, to the overseas, to the least of these. What we have to do is make a choice that I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to press on until I arrive into everything that Jesus has called me to. It's an invitation for us to step in. Would you come with me? You know, I love the words of that song that just says, you are all and enough for me. You're my portion, you're my guide, you're my strength. You know, all of those words affirm to me this reality that God has given us everything that we need. In Peter, it says he's given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. You know, there's this beautiful encouragement that says that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies. That His Spirit in me is greater than anything of this world. And when I look at this world, the size of it, the scope of it, the vastness, the variety, everything about it, it can feel overwhelming. But yet, that Spirit of God in me is greater than anything. You know, as I was walking, one thing I learned, even just as I was doing it, I was thinking about it. The opposition of the slope, the more I leaned into it, the easier it was to climb it. I know if I'd leaned back, I would have just tumbled way back down that slope. And this is the thing, when we lean in, man, when we experience and expect that engagement with God, we discover Him in whole new ways. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean to go to the uttermost parts of the earth for you? Is it across the room? Is it across the street? Is it across the city? Or is it across our coast or our nation? Or to the ends of the earth? It's a question that we all have to face, but probably the more important question right now is, what is your first step? What's that first step that you need to take? I've been asking myself the same question. And so I encourage you, lean in. Go away from this series and just begin to ask God, what's that first step? Give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear, that I might engage that gospel, that good news. Because as the psalmist said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. God bless you, and carry that news in the way that you live to the ends of the earth.